ESPN family of networks. Rich, good to talk to you. Great to see you the last couple of ball games. I just wish we'd found a way to give you two wins from the Crimson Tide. But at least from your standpoint, you got something pretty entertaining on Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday night was a good one, mostly because of the final score and the rivalry between Georgia and Alabama. And the atmosphere, I thought, was better than anticipated. But yeah, that was a real gut punch for Anthony Grant's club. And you know, I wouldn't say they're on life support yet for postseason play, especially the NCAA tournament. Four games to go and a postseason tournament. There's still a lot of basketball to be played, Chris. But when you look at Alabama's schedule, having to go on the road against, obviously, a Vandy team that's down record-wise, but that's always a tough gym to win in. And then to end the season at Texas A&M with the way they're playing, you would have to assume that the Crimson Tide would have to run the table the rest of these four games and then still hope for the best in the tournament. That's going to be a tall task for them.
Well, and especially, too, I mean, just realistically speaking, Rich, this is a team that needs to get on a roll, and yet they haven't posted back-to-back conference wins since the start of league play, beating Texas A&M in Tuscaloosa and winning in Knoxville. They just haven't shown the ability to be consistent, which is beyond frustrating for all of us that follow this team on a regular basis.
Yeah, and you would think that, you know, with the type of chemistry that you build with any team over any season, the course of any season, that you'd be able to carry some of that momentum from one game to the next. And momentum is certainly what they had, Chris. I mean, you were in Auburn, as I was, last Tuesday night. And if I could tell you, I had a little peek into the, you know, behind the curtain, if you will, of Alabama basketball after the game. Anthony walked off the court, as did Levi Randolph, after conducting a couple of post-game interviews with us. And I happened to be trailing right behind them leaving the gym. And Anthony Grant turned the corner to find his entire team and coaching staff waiting for him, and the entire program was jumping up and down shouting, "Our state, our state." And Anthony Grant, who you know is not necessarily prone to overly emotional gesticulations, raised his fists in the air, and the entire team surrounded him, was jumping up and down. It gave me chills to actually witness that, and I thought to myself right then and there, this is a team that could carry that emotion to the next game against a good Georgia team and maybe the last week and a half of this season. And obviously that didn't come to light against the Bulldogs team, where you really just have to tip your cap to Mark Fox. I mean, I said it on Twitter and we talked about it in our telecast that night. If it's not for John Calipari and the undefeated Wildcats, Mark Fox would get our vote for Coach of the Year with what he's done faced with the injuries to the key players that he's had this year.
Talking to Rich Hollenberg from ESPN, the SEC Network as well. He joins us, as all of our guests do, on the Michelob Ultra Hotline presented by Green Beverage. With the SEC heading down the stretch, the major stories, I guess, would be, can anybody get the Cats? Which it's basically been the story all throughout the season. But maybe the bigger question is, how many will the league itself wind up with? Are you still in line with what Joe Lunardi is saying, and that there will be as many as six to get into the tournament field now that Georgia's kind of righted the ship, at least with that victory on Saturday?
Yeah, I think, Chris, that's a good point at the end there. I think that was a big win for Georgia. Obviously, Alabama's RPI, DPI, whatever you're judging it by, is not the strongest, but still a road conference win is a road conference win. You and I both know how difficult those are to come by no matter who you're playing. So I think Georgia really helped themselves. Last I checked, they're still a 9 seed. LSU is still an 11 seed. But dang, man, I would not want to play LSU as an 11 seed. I know that. They're a mercurial team. I have them tomorrow night at Auburn on ESPNU. And that is as talented a top four quartet of players as not only the SEC has, but I think any team in the country has. And yet, you look at their record, and the record doesn't bear it out. So if they can get hot at the right time, I think they're going to be a real dangerous team, especially as maybe an unheralded 11 seed. I also think that, you know, this league does not look like a six-bid league to me, but at the same time, I would not deny Georgia a bid. I would not deny LSU a bid. The question of you know, how the rest of this season is going to play out is just going to be a big one, because you look at some of the key matchups. Arkansas still has to play Kentucky. You know, there are a lot of key games that are still going to take place down the stretch. So I think even though there are four games left, I think those four games, for all the teams involved and all the teams on the bubble, so to speak, are really, really big games. And then, of course, you get down to Nashville for the SEC tournament, and if one of those teams gets hot and goes on a roll, maybe they not only make the tournament, maybe they bump themselves up a couple of seed spots. But I would never argue with Joe Lenardi. I mean, Joey Brackett is, you know, a savant when it comes to this stuff. I think he's, you know, got a 98 or 99% accuracy rate. So who am I to argue with Joey Brackett?
You know, I will say that the thing that's encouraging from the SEC standpoint, while clearly Kentucky is the front runner and then some as the only one seed, and Arkansas is only as high as a five, the others are anywhere from 7 to 11. I see Ole Miss at a 7, Texas A&M at a 9. He still has Georgia as a 9 seed. We referenced LSU. He's got them as an 11. There's nobody from the Southeastern Conference among his six that he's got in today that is even in that play-in game. Now, granted, it only takes one more loss to drop you potentially to that spot or even first four out. But this is a spot to me, Rich, in looking at it, where these six teams we're talking about don't have to do anything extraordinary in the last month. They've got to take care of business, whatever that means, and I haven't got all of their schedules in front of me. As long as, for instance, Georgia doesn't have another slide like they experienced with losses to a South Carolina and an Auburn. As we said, they kind of put a tourniquet on things this weekend. As long as those teams, especially even an LSU, which looks to be in the most precarious spot, avoids that type of meltdown, we're going to get at least five in, which for right now for this league, I think would be a huge step in the right direction.
I would agree, especially because you use this as a springboard to next year. And my gosh, has any conference really jumped out at you that has recruited for next year as well as the SEC? Kentucky's always going to be there. We know that. That's a given. But A&M and LSU and South Carolina, they've all recruited so well for next year, too, that going from, you know, three teams last year to now five or maybe six this year, next year you would expect it to be the same, and who knows, maybe even better. So I think, you know, good things are on the horizon. And just circling back to a point that you made, the one thing that SEC fans and Alabama fans have to keep an eye on for is not necessarily good wins now down the stretch, but as you pointed out, it's really more, and this is unfortunate, this is one of the issues I have with the NCAA selection committee. They put a lot of emphasis on bad losses. So you can go out and take care of your business and win the next four games, but if you do drop one, like you said, like Georgia has done earlier in the season, they could already have made their bed and have to sleep in it without having these next four games matter much because of those quote-unquote bad losses to teams that they've already suffered. Now, for Alabama fans, listen, you still have Ole Miss on the schedule. That would be a good win. You still have Texas A&M on the schedule, and that would be a good win. So that's why I don't think the situation is completely flatlined for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Get those two wins, and you know, you're looking at a lot of what-ifs or possibilities for Alabama. The problem and the sad thing for the Tide, you go back to that Wichita State game, and you go back to that Arkansas game. And, Chris, you know this because you were there. If they win those two games, which were so winnable and so within their grasp, we're not only talking about an NCAA tournament team, we're talking about a team that, who knows, they could be in the top 25 right now.
I'll do you one better, Rich, in terms of the what if. Give me Saturday. Give me South Carolina in Columbia earlier. Give me Florida. Just those three alone. How different does it look? None of those would fall into the marquee category, except maybe Georgia, the closest thing to it. But you don't even have to have Wichita State and Arkansas on the road,
right,
to have it look dramatically different. But you can't undo that. Where are we going to see you in the next week? Where's the travel, and hopefully weather will cooperate so you can get from place to place?
Yeah, the fingers crossed on that. I'll be in Auburn tomorrow night for LSU Auburn. That's 7 o'clock Eastern tip, 6 o'clock your time on ESPNU. And then Saturday, it's a checkbox for me on the bucket list, because I'll be calling the Wichita State-Northern Iowa game. Those two teams are at least Sweet 16 quality teams, and College Game Day is going to be there, too, to add a little extra juice to that matchup. So that'll be a good one. That's going to be at 1 o'clock your time on ESPN on Saturday.
Is that that's at Wichita, isn't it?
That's at Wichita. That's a rematch game. Yeah. Panthers really kind of took it to the Shockers earlier in the season on their home floor.